Good afternoon. Today's date is November 11th, 2023. The message today is the anointing, the holy anointing. Holy Scriptures, Isaiah, the 10th chapter and the 27th verse. 1 John 2nd chapter, 25th through the 27th verse. Hebrews 11th chapter, 1st through the 2nd verse. Romans the 10th chapter and the 17th verse. Proverbs the 3rd chapter, forgiving, is 3rd chapter, 9th through the 10th verse. Testimony is 12th chapter and 11th verse. So I will be expounding today on the word of the Lord. I also want to give the definition of some holy words. Holy words. We need to understand holy words. I also want to expound on the Trinity. The Trinity. The Trinity, I want to talk about the character of the three, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's good to know about the characters, which is in the Trinity. So, I'm going to, if you have your Bibles, let's run over here with me to Isaiah. I want to talk about Isaiah, the prophet. I'm going over into the Old Testament, which is still honored today by the believers in the Word of God. So, I'm going to be here expounding on the word of God on behalf of the anointing. What is the anointing? How is the anointing defined? We need to know what this word is. This word is a term which is biblical and which is a part of the production of the faith of the workers. So here, Isaiah is one of the honored prophets by the church. So Isaiah is speaking on behalf of an anointing because the children of Israel had been at war with the Assyrians. So afterwards, that fight, they were in need of deliverance. So since they were in need of deliverance, Isaiah made an announcement. He made an announcement that there would come an anointing that would resolve their problems, but he didn't use that term. He used a prophetic word called the anointing, which would come forth for the deliverance of Israel. Israel was in trouble in this nation called Assyria. So the Assyrian king had been at war, and the Israelites Israel had developed a burden. So the prophet is here promising that our Heavenly Father was going to bring forth an anointing to destroy the yoke The word yoke is defined as a burden. So the burden was developed in that nation because Israel was in trouble. So yoke, the yoke is defined as a heavy load. So I am reminded of some of the words that was used over in other nations, maybe like Egypt or other nations where they carried burden, where the camel carried burdens. So they had something heavy on their, let's run over here to the dictionary and look for this word here. This word is called a yoke. So I'm going to look it up in the dictionary. I'm looking it up right now so we can understand the definition of a yoke. So Isaiah is here, he's given a promise. Okay, so the dictionary is giving us a definition here. What is the definition of a yoke? So number one, the dictionary is giving us a definition that a yoke is, number one, it is a noun. One of the definitions is a bar by which the end of the tongue of a wagon or carriage is suspended from the collars of the harness. One of them is a wooden bar or frame by which two draft animals, such as oxen, are joined at the heads or necks for working together. So that's a yoke. There's another word for yoke, with a definition which is servitude. A bondage. I think servitude and bondage gives us a better understanding about a yoke. However, the children of Israel, they were burdened down with something hard. There is another definition here, which is plural, yoke. Two animals yoked or worked together. So let's see what the word servitude, how is that word defined? A condition in which one lacks liberty, especially to determine one's course of action or way of life. That's servitude. So I think that explains the kind of that explains the definition in which I'm trying to reach. So, we need to understand about the power of the anointing, because Jesus Christ was chosen to be the anointed one. So I want to talk briefly with you here on behalf of the power of the anointing. So, I want to start reading here at the 10th chapter of Isaiah and the 27th verse. So the children of Israel is here. They are under a yoke. They are suffering because this government is wrong. The government is wrong. So, I want to be talking here on behalf of the power and the authority that the prophet and the people of faith have in the word of God. So here I'm speaking on behalf of Isaiah, the 10th chapter and the 27th verse. So I'm speaking on behalf of a problem that the children of Israel is having here with the Assyrian government. However, the prophet is here speaking a word, promising the church that there would come forth a word on behalf of the power of the anointing, which this prophet particularly had, because he was called by our Heavenly Father to do the work of a prophet. I'm here at the 10th chapter of Romans and the 27th verse. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. So when Isaiah, when he speaks, since he is in the authority of the, since he's in the office of the prophet, he's in the office of the prophet. So he is here giving a word on behalf of an anointing that's coming forth to destroy the yoke of bondage from the people, which is Israel. So the word yoke is a term, and the word yoke is a noun, N-O-U-N. And so I want to talk about the trouble that Israel was in this nation. Israel was in trouble. So when we're in trouble and we are people of faith and we believe in the word of God, and we are, and we can't do anything to help ourselves, our Heavenly Father usually sends a prophet with a word of comfort. So here, The dictionary gives us a definition of the word yoke. So the dictionary gives us a word servitude, a bondage. So at this time, the children of Israel was not free. They was in a horrible, horrible condition in this nation. So this is the completion of this definition of this word, servitude, a bondage, a condition in one's life which they lack the liberty, especially to determine one's course of action or way of life. So the children of Israel, they didn't have any freedom in the land of, in the nation of the Assyria, in the nation of Assyria. So guess who else have the authority to get a release or to get deliverance from a problem? The body of Jesus Christ. Well, we don't have this same kind of condition because we are those of us who believe in the gospel, who believes in the Bible, we are those who are free. How are we set free? We are free when we know the truth. The Bible declares that, the Bible gives us a word that we should know the truth, the truth shall make us free. Okay, I also want to talk about another holy term, which is Trinity. Now, this word Trinity is not in the Bible, but says there are three with different characters. With the canon did honor the fact that that word Trinity could be established, but not as far as a prophet having given that word to the church, but they use it because we're talking about the character of the Word of God. The first character is Father. The Father is the creator and maker of all things and all spirits, meaning people. When I say spirits, I'm talking about people. The Son is the one that our Heavenly Father chose to be the Savior of the world. So, the Son is the Savior, and the Father is the Creator. Okay, so here, the Holy Spirit is there. What character does the Holy Spirit hold? The character of the Holy Spirit is the Counselor and the Comforter. That is the person that gives us counsel when we need it. How? Through the Son. So Jesus Christ have authority to walk as one with our Heavenly Father. So the Holy Spirit is our counsel and comforter. So usually when we receive a word, from Christ, we get confirmation. How? By the Holy Spirit and by our Heavenly Father. So I don't need to use all three of them names all the time, but it's good to know the character of each person. So we'll know who it is that we're believing in and how to understand all three persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, or the Holy Spirit. So they all three agrees. When people are agreeing, when I say agreement, that means that they decided, that our Heavenly Father decided to give Jesus Christ authority to be the Son and the Holy Spirit to connect with them. So all three are one. They agree as one, like husband and wife. Before they decide to get married, they go together, they get together, and they go to the table of situation. They go to the table of situation, and they make an agreement. They make an agreement to do what? To make a decision on behalf of a promise or an oath. So that's whom the Trinity is contained of, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Okay, so I want to run over here. I want to run over here to, if you have your Bibles, come go with me over to the first chapter. Excuse me, I'm going to say this this word again. 1 John, 2nd chapter, and the 25th through the 27th verse. So Israel was in trouble once again. Guess where Israel was in trouble? Israel was in trouble over in Egypt land, because they had a yoke on them in that nation as well. However, that particular anointing came forth with a prophet named Moses. Moses was standing in our Heavenly Father's stead. Aaron was to do the work as the prophet. However, Moses also took the office of prophet to build the people of faith, which was Israel, to build them and to elevate them after that they were delivered out of Egypt from under the hand of the Egyptians. So I want to thank everyone that did join us this afternoon for this great service. So here, I'm going to run over here, because when we get problems, we need help, especially if we have problems on behalf of our enemies. So in this case, Israel was entreated with disrespect and disregard, and even worse than that, there was a war going on. So if a nation have a war going on, what happens then is we need help from our Heavenly Father. We need help from Jesus Christ. So I'm going to run over here to 1 John, the second chapter. 1 John. It's 1 John, the second chapter, and the 25th through the 27th verse. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. 26th verse. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. So the church in this location was receiving a word from John. And John was making the church aware about those who were deceiving them and misleading them. So the word anoint is a verb. So Christ came about with an anointing. So therefore, when Christ came on the scene, Christ came with a greater power of the anointing, so that the church could get some release, so that the church could be set free from any bondage or any kind of burdens. So I'm going to continue here to read the 26th verse. These things I have written unto you concerning them that seduce you. 27th verse. But the anointing which ye, the word ye, Y-E, is defined as Y-O-U. That is a ancient word, an old word. But today, in today's modern world, we have interpreted that word ye as Y-O-U. You. I'm going to start all over again with this 27th verse. But the anointing which ye which ye have received of him abideth in you. So when John give us a word here of understanding, he said the anointing, but the anointing, that word anointing is a verb. So that is a term. But the anointing which ye have received of him, speaking on behalf of Jesus Christ, abideth in you. When he said the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, then he's talking about the word of God. And ye need not that any man teach you, but, now he's not saying you don't need a man to teach you. He's given a word here of understanding that you don't need the wrong leadership teaching you. And ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing. So John is here giving us an understanding whom and what leader and what authority and power that a teacher have to teach us. So everybody's not to teach us. We need those qualified men and women to teach us of the word of God by what? By the Holy Spirit, by Jesus Christ, which is connected to the Holy Spirit and our Heavenly Father. I'm going to read over this word once again. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, meaning the word of God. And ye need not that any man teach you, but. So he's not saying we don't need a man to teach us. John is giving us whom need to teach us, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is true and is no lie. And even as it have taught you, you shall abide in him. So he's speaking here on behalf of what spirit and what person needs to teach the body of Jesus Christ. That person is a teacher who have had a calling and a command to teach the people, and whom is established and ordained and qualified by other leaders, apostles, teachers, pastors, those who are qualified to teach, and those who are commanded by Jesus Christ to teach the word, because we want a good result. We want a holy result. We want a faith results. We want a faith results when we have teachers in front of us. So what we need to do when we have teachers, we either need to understand that we have the right teacher, or we need to go before our Heavenly Father and prayer request and ask our Heavenly Father to give us understanding whom is the right person to teach us. Because when we receive a teaching, then that work is to be accepted as holy and righteous and of Jesus Christ, and to be lived by. So we don't sit upon everybody. We want to sit with those whom we know we can respect and honor the word and the work that they're doing, and also apply the work to our heart, and also put that work in progress so that we can live. So the anointing is very important for a leader, teacher, a pastor, an apostle. Now, whom is the apostle? The apostle is the person who carries all five offices, because Jesus Christ put forth the apostolic work. So the apostle carries the pastor, the teacher, the evangelist, and the prophet. So if an individual is an apostle, is when they work all five offices, and we are receiving a word from that particular individual that carries that office, then we should have power. Where? In the Word of God. Now, how do we retain the presence of the Lord? The anointing comes from the worker, which is the person that was chosen by Jesus Christ, and which, when that anointing imparts from their mouth, and we receive it and we put that work in action and put it in progress for living, then we should result into caring, an anointing should result into being in the presence of the Lord. How do we retain that kind of power with the Lord? We retain it when we have understanding. So we need knowledge, wisdom, and understanding in order to be effective in the Word of God. So I'm going to run over here. We're talking about the authority that we have in Jesus Christ with an anointing. So we need not think that if we're not effective in the Word of God, then we did not receive a word by the mouth of Christ, by the leader. When they spoke to us, we did not receive a word from Christ if we're not effective in the Lord. So when the Lord speak a word by the mouth of a prophet or prophetess, then we have confirmation immediately, not later on, but immediately, that the Lord spoke that word by that person that is in lead. So leadership is very important. We need to know whom that leader is. We need to understand their intent, because we are to receive a word on behalf of a prophetic word. We are to receive that word believing that Jesus Christ spoke it to that leader. So we want to make sure that that leader is of Christ. So this is what John is doing. He is identifying, he is giving an illustration, and he is identifying the type of character that the church is to follow. So we don't need to think we don't need teachers. We need teachers, but we need the right kind of teachers with the right intent. So here John is giving the church at this time, he's giving them a knowledge and an understanding. He's giving the church a knowledge and an understanding about the character and the spirit of which the leaders need to have. So he's telling the church here that they are not to allow anyone to teach them, but of the same anointing that Jesus Christ have imparted in their life, so they can be effective and not believe in the wrong kind of a person. Because remember, now we're in America, and we have quite a few teachers that is in America. And some of these teachers, we can identify that they are not of Christ. Why? Because if we listen to them, we cannot get a word from them that can be confirmed by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Okay, so I'm going to run over here to Hebrews 11 chapter. No, let's run over here to Romans, the 10th chapter first, and the 17th verse. Now, there is a duty that we do have concerning our salvation, but that duty is an oath. So we don't want to make promises and oaths and just drop it. So when we make this, when we make these promises, then we need to be ready to be responsible for making sure that we are going to keep those promises. It's nothing wrong with making those promises, But many of us, we make them because we are excited or we are enthused to apply our heart to the Word of God. There's nothing wrong with that, but we need to be very careful before we go through confessions. I've been in ministries where the leader thought it proper to take us through through a confession. So we want to be responsible for every word that we put up before the Lord, because we want to live and we want to develop properly in His Word. So let's run over here to the 10th chapter of Romans. And about, I did say 10th chapter of Romans in the 17th verse, but I'm going to go up a little bit further because I want to talk about this confession. This confession is good and honored by all of the theologians and all of the prophets. So I want to run through this word here. That's the 10th chapter of Romans, 8th verse. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee. Meaning the word nigh is an old word for present. That's an old word. That's an ancient word. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So here Paul is speaking on behalf of these individuals that's in Romans. That's Roman Italy. He was in this country at that time. So he had been preaching and teaching the people of faith. He had been teaching them, and plus he have introduced them to a confession. So he's telling the church over here, but what saith it? The word is in thy mouth. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Why did he say that? Because he was the one feeding and giving information to this particular people. So he knew that they had a word. So since they had a word, he is giving them a format of the word that they had received. So he knows who he is talking to. So he's talking to a people that he's been teaching and leading, and he have established them as a people whom had a word, even a word of faith. So when Paul explains that they had a word of faith, that statement is to be formatted, is that he is the person that was called, he's the leader that released that word to them. By who? By faith, because he was called to be an apostle. And he is confirming to this particular people that how they got that word was because our Heavenly Father, by Jesus Christ, had given him that word. So he knew that this people had faith. 9th verse, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. But these are directions that he had already taught the Roman Christians. He had already taught them this level of work. 10th verse, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So it's very important for these people to understand this particular format of the Word of God. So, but we don't want to make these confessions except we understand it, and except we are intending to go through with the completion of that confession. But with the scripture, this is the 11th verse. I'm sorry, the 11th verse. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. 12th verse, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. 13th verse, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So here Paul is explaining to the Roman church that there's no limitation whom can be saved. At one time, there was a limitation. There was a limitation for Israel. That's over in the Old Testament for the Pentateuch. It's the Pentateuch. So at that time, the word, there was no one getting the word at that time under the Pentateuch, whereas Moses was establishing all the new laws for Israel, because they had been transferred from, the Egyptian government over into the wilderness. So at that time, there was no other nation getting a word but Israel. But now under the new, which is the New Testament, there is no limitation on whom can be saved. The 14th verse, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So here Paul is giving another direction and understanding to the Romans church that they need a leader to prophesy or to preach a word, to sermonize. This word preacher, preach, is defined as to sermonize or to release a word, except they sent. So Paul is explaining, he's given the Romans church a clear understanding about how they are to receive faith and how they are to proceed and complete this confession. And he's telling them, how then shall they call on him in whom, this is the 14th verse, I'm going back over the 14th verse. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So he's explaining to the church here that you have no way to believe in Jesus except you have a leader, which is the preacher, to speak the word into your life. 15th verse, and how shall they preach except they be sent? So he's also giving the church directions as to the fact that this particular leader, the preacher has to be sent or commanded to do the work. I use the word commanded. That's not what the scripture said. I said commanded, because that's what I understand. The 15th verse, and how shall they preach except they be sent? So they need to be sent by whom? Jesus Christ. And also qualified by Jesus Christ. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So if a man or a woman is a leader in the Lord and they do exactly what they are commanded to do in the work of the gospel, then they develop what a character, which Paul is explaining here, that how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. So I'm going to read here at the 16th verse, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? Whom hath believed our report? So many did not obey the Lord. So they didn't get the same results. They did not get what was promised. So here, the 17th verse says here, So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So this is how our faith come to us, is when we have leaders there to teach us, lead us, and guide us, and give us a word. So that's how our faith in Christ, in the word of God, is developed. So I'm coming close to my completion here. So I want to run up here to the Hebrews 11th chapter and the first through the second verse. We have authority to live in the Word of God, but we need to understand every detail of the Word, and also need to understand the leaders. Whom are the leaders? So that we can have accurate information in our heart so that we can develop properly. Develop properly on behalf of the Bible, the Word of God. So I'm here working with the 11th chapter of Hebrews in the first verse. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Substance. So the word substance is defined when one is laboring and producing something tangible. So if I'm working and I'm working properly and I'm working by faith because the Lord commanded me to do the work, or not just me, any other person that have themselves in a place, in an office for teaching or whatever office they're called to work in. So here, that person should develop some substance for faith. And that person should have some confirmation, evidence, meaning confirmation. Confirmation of things that's not seen. So I would use for an example, I'm just making an example. If I go to work 5 days a week, starting Monday or whatever day I want to start working, then I should receive or produce substance. Well, the substance that I'm talking about on a job is connected to my career. So if I start working on Monday and I'm going to work the whole 5 days, then on Friday, then I should receive what? A check. But that's not the type of substance that the writer here is speaking on behalf of. The writer here is speaking on behalf of a person who was called to do the work of the gospel, and this person is confirmed as a person whom have been in prophecy feeding the church. What? Information. Our mind is a place where we receive information for what? We receive information on behalf of our education. We receive information from our parents for what? If we're receiving information from our parents, we're receiving information on how to live. So that's how substance is developed when one is laboring. Plus we get confirmation. First verse of the 11th chapter of the first verse of the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. So how did the elders obtain a good report? Because they had confirmation that these individuals had obeyed the Lord and that they had produced some works with the people, and the people were developed in the Word of God. So let's run over here. I want to expound on another scripture over here on behalf of faith. Okay, the 11th chapter of Hebrews in the 8th verse. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out not knowing whether he went. Now, Abraham is not confused, but he received a word from our Heavenly Father to leave his nation, leave the place of where he was birthed. So he obeyed that prophecy. snipers. By faith, he sojourned. The word sojourn is defined as a place where he was residing. By faith, he resided in the land of promise, as in a strange country. Dwelling, he was in a strange country now because he did leave. So it's not that he was going somewhere and he was not going to result into a proper place. He was going there because he had a call to go there. By whom? Our Heavenly Father. I'm nearing my close here. So here, by faith, I'm going to read once again Hebrews 11 chapter, but I'm on the 9th verse. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs, H-E-I-R-S. They are the ones who were to benefit. The word heirs, H-E-I-R-S, is defined as beneficiary. These individuals, Isaac and Jacob, they are heirs with him of the same promise. Here Abraham, not Isaiah, Abraham is joined with two other brethren, which were changing countries and had changed countries, and now they're in a place of promise. 10th verse, well, he looked for a city which has foundation, whose builder and maker is God. So Abraham didn't just leave home and didn't have any directions. He had directions from our Heavenly Father to make this change and to go to another country. So I'm moving on here. So now I want to run over here to, I want to talk about giving. So we always want to know whom we are giving to, if we're giving it in the Lord, and if we're giving it to the right ministry. Because I also like to always speak on behalf of nonprofit. And I don't condemn nonprofits. Nonprofits are there for positive reasons. But many think that when they give to a nonprofit, that is producing a blessing. But that is not biblically supported. However, I'm not condemning it, because many ministries work with the nonprofit. However, if you're giving to a nonprofit, if you're giving your resources to a nonprofit to assist with whatever the need is in that ministry, that is okay. It is legal. So if I contribute my resources to a nonprofit organization, usually a nonprofit organization, they are processing something, call some help for the needy. So if they are processing some amounts for the needy, then I would give them that, but I'm expecting to get a refund. That does not mean that it's something wrong with it, but that is not how a blessing is developed. So if I'm waiting on a refund when tax season comes, I still want to make sure I'm giving this money to a credible ministry. But I'm not expecting a blessing if I have to wait until I get my refund back in tax season. I'm just assisting because I believe in that particular work if I decide to give in that work. So, but that's not how you produce a blessing. When we're producing a blessing, we work with a blessed work, and we work with those who agrees with us that they are going to apply our resources on behalf of a command that they have from the Lord to work like that. So when we are given into a ministry, we want to produce a business. We want to have a business working. We don't just give it out and not comply our faith to a business. We want to work with a business so that we can get the benefits of the promise, the benefit of the promise that we gave into. We want the promises of Jesus, but we want to understand. We want to understand how to do it. So here I'm going to be working here with the third chapter of Proverbs. And the 9th verse, honor the Lord with thy substance, with the first fruits of all thine increase. So the book of Proverbs was constructed and written according to theology by Solomon, according to the theologians by Solomon. So Solomon is here giving some instructions for our growth. So we want to grow. If we're not growing with the ministry or growing with the gospel, then we don't need to follow that word. But if we are growing, and I mean when we first start believing it, now we may not receive all of the promise all at once. The Lord puts his word in action as soon as we apply our hearts to his word and to the works. Ninth verse of the third chapter of Proverbs. I'm getting ready to complete this message here. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So what would be the first part? So what we need to do before we do that, we need to look at our budget and see what we can afford. But the writer is giving us wisdom here. What part to give? The writer here is giving us is we want to give the first part. So maybe your first part could be $1, or maybe your first part could be 5 or 10 or whatever you can afford to give out of your budget into the work of the ministry. So here the 10th verse says, so shall thy barns, that B-A-R-N-S is a place, be filled with plenty. That means that there shouldn't be any lack there. You should have all of what you need. You should have your mortgage. You should have enough resources and substance to pay your mortgage every month. And you shouldn't be necessarily living from paycheck to paycheck. If you've grown, if the leader gave your word from Jesus Christ, from the mouth of Jesus, and the leader gave you that word, and you followed through with it. If you follow through with it, now we do have a responsibility if we believe in the leader, and if we comply our heart to that particular word that the leader put on the table, then that person shouldn't have any lack. That person should have all that they need over and above, and after you pay for everything, then you should have the overflow in your budget in the bank. So you shouldn't be broke, and you shouldn't have to go and borrow from friends. Nothing wrong with it if you need to, but see, when you first start giving, the Lord is in it. The Lord is in agreement with it if he said it. if he spoke it to the leader, the Lord start to work as you work. But many like to give into the gospel, give into a work, but they're not working. Well, if a person is just sitting and they're not working, if they're browsing around on the earth and they're not working, well, how can you expect to apply your heart to that word? So, if you're working with the leader and you are applying your heart to that word, then you should grow. And you should have so much until you have the overflow. You are running over with blessings. And you don't have any end to your growth. Why? Because you're growing because you have faith in the word of God on behalf of what was spoken in that particular work. And you don't have any limits on your growth. So the writer is here giving us a place in the heavenlies. This is a spiritual word. But the writer is here giving us a word called barns, B-A-R-N-S, 10th verse. I want to read this all over again. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. So these are spiritual words. And this wine here that the writer is speaking on behalf of is spiritual. He's talking about a fruit. In other words, you should be fruitful and you should have plenty, plenty of everything. Your car notes should be paid for months ahead, and you should have the overflow when you are given into the work of the gospel, because the Lord said it to the leader and you received it. Okay, so I'm getting ready. I'm nearing the end. Now, I won't be back for about 2 weeks. It'll be on a Tuesday. It will be on a Tuesday when I come back for 2 weeks from today. I won't be back next week. It'll be on a Tuesday. So here we are. We are allowing those individuals whom agree with us to give. So I am pausing for just a second. Just a second. So, if you have any prayer requests, you may contact us by emailing us at silver@morningstargmnetwork.com. Any prayer requests that you may have, you may contact us at silver@morningstar. If you have prayer requests or questions, you may contact us at silver@morningstargmnetwork.com. Also, we would love for all faith partners to join us for the seminar. For the seminar, which will be in Atlanta, Georgia, we had one today arranged. So, we are asking all faith partners and all who believe in the gospel to assist and give a donation so we may elevate and spread the word of God around the globe to the highest form on the public media platform, because there is a cost there. And expect the Lord Jesus Christ to increase your resources and substance according to your faith in his word. That's Luke, the 6th chapter and the 38th verse. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measures, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall be given to your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. So we are allowing those who, and give what you can afford. We are allowing all those who believe in the gospel to give a donation if they can afford it, and give what you can afford. So as I said, I'll be back not next week, but that following week on a Tuesday around 5 o'clock in the afternoon. I want to get started again at that time. So, and remember to love the Lord thy God. And remember to love the Lord thy God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul. And love yourself the same way. And love your neighbor. I'm answering you right now. I'm giving my email right now. And that that email that And the website is morningstargmnetwork.com. Thank you very much for joining us today.